In case you happen to find this lost dog, maybe you could identify or know the owner. It says, lost, small apricot poodle, reward. Neutered, like one of the family. I don't know if you know the owner or not. That would be kind of sad. Here's the next one. This is also from the classified ads. For some of you who like to collect antiques, this might be something of interest to you. For sale, an antique desk suitable for lady with thick legs and large drawers. I better not say anything more about that. This is from an actual advertisement. I think it's of a dry cleaning place. I don't know how well they do business. I can't imagine that they do very good business. This is their slogan. We do not tear your clothing with machinery. We do it carefully by hand. How machines can be so unreliable. This is also a slogan from a company. I'm not sure what the business is. I'm kind of curious reading their slogan. It says, "Tired of cleaning yourself? Let me do it." I think I'll stay away from that one too. And this final one is from an advertisement as well. I'm not going to go into detail about this, although it seems like maybe an enticing product for some of us. It says, get rid of ants. Zap does the job in 24 hours. There you go. Not many, you know, ants is misspelled. See, that's the kick of the job. All right. Well, the point of this is, as it was last week, that words can be delightful in communicating a message. But communicating a message that words can describe, things that have to do with human things, earthly things. But words can be deceptive and confusing because they have their limits in talking about things of the divine. And so it's an appropriate way to look into the Apostles' Creed, which is a human invention, a human formulation to try to get hold of something as mysterious as the workings of God. And so as we approach the Apostles' Creed together, let's do so with discernment and prayerful guidance from God so that we wouldn't misinterpret who God is for us and for the church. Today, our section deals with the person of Jesus Christ. And it's an important part of the Creed. As you can probably tell, it's the longest section of the entire Creed, and we'll go into why it's possible that that is. But it's pretty clear that it's an important section for the church, central to who the church is. Kind of reminds me of a story. I don't know if I shared this one time or not. Eventually, you know, the illustrations will reintroduce themselves. I can't keep coming up with new ones. So if you've heard this already, just be quiet and let me tell the story. It's a story of a church that has part of its worship service devoted to the children, very much like ours, children's sermons every Sunday. And I know that if you were to ask Phil, he would probably say that there's a certain vulnerability to being up there with those kids because you never quite know what's going to come out of their mouths, right? There's always a step of faith going up in front of those kids. And this particular church, the pastor was giving the children's sermon and was feeling vulnerable as it was, but he seemed pretty confident that he was going to ask them a question that they could understand and pretty quickly get the answer to. So he begins the children's sermon by asking a question. Now, kids, I'm thinking of something that walks on all fours, has a big bushy tail, runs real fast, scurries up and down trees, you find them in your backyard, likes to eat nuts. Kids, what am I thinking of? And immediately, a dozen hands went up. Kids who seemed confident that they knew the answer. Including this one little boy in the back who had his hand raised up but a very stern look on his face. And curiously, the gentleman, the pastor, called on that little boy in the back and said, yes, well, what do you think it is? And immediately the little boy's hand came down and he crossed his arms with a little skeptical look. And he said, I think you're talking about a squirrel, but I'm pretty sure you're going to tell me the answer is Jesus. seems to be the answer for many of the children's sermons. The point is pretty clear, that the answer for the church, the central part of the church's identity, even from the very beginning, was Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. In fact, if you take a look at the Apostles' Creed, the biggest section of the creed is devoted to Jesus Christ. No other part of the creed gives more attention to Jesus than this one, and no part of the faith deserves this much attention. And so we can pretty much gather from this that Jesus was an important part of the faith. Without Jesus Christ, there would be no Christians. Without Christians, there would be no church. And without church, there would be no Apostles' Creed. This is how the part of that creed goes. You know it. You can recite it from memory. And in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. Third day, he rose from the dead. I should include that part. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence He shall come to judge the quick and the dead. Scholars are pretty much in agreement that this, since it is the longest section, was the most important to the church. And more than likely, it's the earliest part of the creed. That one of the earliest creeds that the church put together was a creed about Jesus. And that the Apostles' Creed, as we have it now, is actually an embellishment of this very core set of sentences. It's pretty clear that the early church engaged in some pretty serious debates about who this Jesus of Nazareth was. Was He fully God? Was He fully human? Did He really rise from the dead? Is He really coming back? Who was this Jesus anyway? Now, these are questions that today we have pretty ready answers for. Yes, Jesus was truly God. Yes, Jesus was fully human. Yes, Jesus rose from the dead. Yes, Jesus is coming back. We answer these questions like it's nothing, like it's taken for granted. And I would suggest to you that that's the dangerous part of our faith. That when we start to take the answers of our faith for granted and not engage them seriously without debate or without faithful introspection, that's when we get too comfortable with our faith. And with comfort can lead to stagnancy in our faith. Stagnancy can lead to apathy, and apathy can lead to backsliding. So because it was an important part of the early church's faith, it must be and continue to be an important part of who we are, who Jesus was, lest we give up a precious treasure that has been handed down to us. I'm reminded of a family who had in their home a beautiful, precious, antique vase. And it was a vase that had been passed down through this family for generations. And the parents of the home were very careful to explain to all the children the significance of this vase, that it has lasted through the family for generations, for years and years and years. One day, the parents returned home from a trip to be greeted at the door by their teenage daughter. "Mom and Dad," said the daughter, "you know that antique vase that you told us has been passed down from generation to generation?" "Yes," answered the parents. "Well, Mom and Dad, our generation just dropped it. Let's not be the generation of the church that drops the treasure of Jesus Christ from its importance, from its vitality in our faith. Let's never take the person of Jesus Christ for granted, lest we too drop the great treasure that's been given to us by the early church." Remember the words that are found in Matthew, Mark, and Luke? The question that Jesus asks the disciples? The question He asks of them is, "Who do the people say that I am?" And they say, "Well, some think you're Elijah, some think you're John the Baptist, others say you're an ancient prophet." And then Jesus says to Peter, and Jesus says to us, Who do you say that I am? So that's the question that we need to keep asking. Who is Jesus Christ today for us and for the world? So I want to suggest to you four things that we can pull out of the Apostles' Creed as answers to who Jesus is. The first answer is, Jesus Christ is a pattern for living. A pattern for living. Many of you know what this is. You can pick these up at most any fabric store. This is a pattern for making clothing. If you want to make an article of clothing, you know that all you need is some thread and some fabric and a needle and something like this. A pattern. Something you can use to make the right measurements for your clothes so that you can know where to cut off the excess, so that you can know step by step that you're getting closer and closer to making the perfect article of clothing for yourself. This is a pattern for a nice woman's dress. But you can find a pattern of clothing for just about anything. Jesus is our pattern for living. We're told in Romans 13:14 to, quote, put on Christ, to put on the clothing of Christ, to become more and more like Christ each day. This means that we need to know how Jesus lived his life. We need to get to know Jesus, who was the pattern for our living, through his words and through his actions, and integrate them into our own. It's no accident that the Apostles' Creed goes to great lengths to prove that Jesus Christ was human just like us. That this Jesus was born. That this Jesus really lived. That this Jesus lived under a historical figure like Pilate. That this Jesus really died. That this Jesus really was buried. So as to say that this Jesus was a human being that we can pattern our lives after. It's an integral part of our faith to affirm not just the divinity of Jesus, but the humanity of Jesus as well. Because that makes it possible for us to pattern our lives after the example of Christ, to love others as Jesus loved others, to forgive others as Jesus forgave others, to pray like Jesus prayed, to assemble community like Jesus assembled in community, and to do all of those things that Jesus prescribes for us. Well, our second thing that Jesus is that Jesus shows us how to know God. Jesus Christ shows us how to know God. I borrowed this from Phil. Many of you know what that is. That's a prism. They come in all shapes and sizes, but the ones that we're used to are triangular, just like this. And we know what a prism does, right? We've seen and played with them before. This may not work so well. I experimented with it earlier. Can you see on the ceiling some bands of light? Light is invisible to the human eye. But with a prism takes that invisible light and makes it visible, makes it visual. And we see the grand display of all the beauty and colors that the human eye can see. Prisms take invisible things and make them visible. Now, has anybody ever seen God? No. Has anybody ever seen light? No. But Jesus Christ does for us what this prism does for light. Through Jesus Christ, we can see the breadth and diversity and beauty of all of God's love and God's actions. And so if you want to get to know God, get to know Jesus Christ. If you want to see in visible, tangible form who God is and how God acts, get to know Jesus. Do you want to know who God is? Then look at that man from Galilee. This Jesus who healed the sick and the dying. God wants to heal you as well. Hear Jesus as he tells us to care for the widowed, the poor, the orphaned, the oppressed. And if you listen carefully to Jesus caring for them, you can hear the heartbeat of God. Watch as Jesus scolds the Pharisees and overturns the tables of hypocrisy and selfishness. God wants to purify your heart as well. Watch as Jesus prays. Listen as he gathers the children. Catch it when he breaks the bread and washes feet. If you want to catch a glimpse of God, then get to know Jesus. The Apostles' Creed puts it this way. Jesus Christ is God's Son. If you want to get to know the parent, get to know the child. Number one was Jesus is a pattern for living. Number two is Jesus shows us how to know God. Number three, Jesus is freedom. Some of you have seen these. Hopefully none of you have seen actual ones of these. But these are toy handcuffs. And you know what handcuffs are? Why are you laughing? You and Jonathan, I bet, huh? Okay. You know what handcuffs are for. Police use them often to take criminals into custody. They are symbols of bondage and being locked up. Usually, if someone is wearing handcuffs, they have done something that is a burden to society. They have committed a crime. They're deserving of punishment. They are a symbol of imprisonment. And usually, real handcuffs like these cannot be broken by human hands. The only way, really, to break the bond of a handcuff is to have what? The key. The key. And usually, there is only one thing that can break the handcuff, which is a perfectly designed, perfectly unique to the set of handcuffs, perfectly matched set of keys that can be inserted into the keyhole to set the person free. This morning I want to ask you, what are your handcuffs? What are the things that are confining you this morning? Perhaps in your life it's a lifestyle or a sin that you know has been binding you and weighing you down. Maybe you are burdened by a lack of self-esteem or a lack of self-acceptance. Perhaps there's a great burden in your life because you know that you're not quite right with God. You feel dirty. Maybe you feel impure. Maybe you've read the stories of the Gospels and you relate to people like the demon-possessed man or the dying leper or the sinful condemned woman or the guilt-ridden Nicodemus or the ashamed woman at the well. You have the handcuffs of sin and guilt, despair, and shame. You need to know that there is one perfectly designed, perfectly matched, one source cure for the handcuffs of your life. It is Jesus, the only key to your freedom. Jesus has come to be your key to unlock the binds of your life. There we go. And to set you free. Stop laughing. Jesus is here to be your key, to set you free. And all you need to do is accept the freedom that God provides for you through Jesus Christ. This is what the Apostles' Creed says, that on the third day, he rose from the dead. God is in the business of transforming and resurrecting and creating new life, new free life. And that's what God wants to do for you through Jesus Christ. Well, finally, Jesus is hope. Jesus is hope. In this plastic bag is a little seed, a tiny little seed. And I've used seeds as object sermons before. I like them, and the Bible likes them as well. The Bible uses the image of the seed to talk about hope and to talk about faith. And we know what's inside this little seed. This tiny little seed has a giant apple tree contained inside it. At least the potential for one. The hope for one. And if it's treated right, and if it's watered well, and if it's in the right environment, this little seed bursts and explodes with potential and new life. And eventually that seed turns into a plant, which turns into a tree, and that tree eventually gives forth beautiful fruit like this one. In the very beginning of our Bible, we're told that we're seeds. When God goes about creating human beings, what does God say? God says, let's create human beings in our image. Let's put within human beings a little seed of ourselves. So that inside us, each inside every one of us, is a little seed of hope. The image of God that's waiting and waiting to burst through and break out and bear fruit for God. This is a hopeful word. That those of us who feel like we're worth nothing, who feel like we are not able to do anything for God, indeed have a sense of hope for the future, because through Jesus Christ, we can be made more and more into the kind of person that God wants us to be. This is what the Apostles' Creed says. The Apostles' Creed says, He ascended into heaven. From thence He shall come to judge the quick and the dead. The Apostles' Creed talks about a great future, a great hope that lies ahead for all of us who have contained within us the image of God. So let's share that. Let's show that for all to see. We live today in what Paul refers to in 2 Corinthians 5:1, when he says, For we know that if the earthly tent that we live in is destroyed, we have a building from God that lies ahead of us, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. So this is just dress rehearsal, brothers and sisters, for the great hope that lies ahead, for the grand show that is in store for all who have loved God and accepted Jesus Christ. Jesus is our pattern for living. Jesus shows us how to know God. Jesus is our freedom from all that binds us. And Jesus gives us hope. In the name of Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord. Amen.